purpose of this shiur, hopefully the purpose of this the series of these shiurim, will be to explain the words of davening. Each and every word that we daven has very deep meaning. And we'll try to go, we'll try to understand everything that we say from Maidani until we go to sleep at night. We could spend an entire life on this, and we probably won't scratch the surface. But we'll learn as much as we can. But today's shiur will serve as an introduction. Pasuk says in Parshas Ve'eschanan, "Ushmartem asisem, you should observe, and you shall perform. Kihi chachmaschem uvinaschem leinei ha'amim, because this is your wisdom and your understanding to the eyes of the nations. Ashi yishmun es kol hachukim ha'ela." Who will hear all of these decrees? They will say, "Rak am chacham v'nova in hagoy hagod lazeh." They will say, "This is a wise and understanding. This great nation is a wise and understanding nation." And the pasuk goes on to explain why. Why are we such a unique nation? Because who is such a great nation that has a God that is close to them, like Hashem, our God, whenever we call out to Him? Who is such a great nation who has such righteous decrees and laws, such as this Torah that I command you today? So the pasuk here gives two reasons why we are such a unique nation. And we would have to assume that these reasons are in order of importance. So if you'd ask anybody, how is the Jewish nation unique? How is it better than any other nation? So I would imagine that the first answer you'll be given is because we have a Torah. We have a Torah, the nations of the world don't. We live by the laws that the Rebbeinu Shlomo gave us, and the other nations do not. That's the second reason given here. The first reason that is given is, "Kimi goy godol ha'shaloya lekim krovim eilav kashem alekenim chokereinu eilav." Who is such a great nation that has a God close to them as Hashem, our God, whenever we call out to Him? So, in essence, the Torah HaKadosh is telling us that tefillah, prayer, is our greatest treasure. The truth is that we find, regarding Hilchos Beis HaKnesses and Hilchos Beis HaMedrash, right? Beis HaKnesses is a place where only davening takes place. Hilchos Beis HaMedrash is a place where there is learning and there's davening. Hilchos Beis HaKnesses is very strict halachas. One is not allowed to talk idle talk in a Beis HaKnesses. One is not allowed to eat, to drink in a Beis HaKnesses. One is not even allowed to learn in a Beis HaKnesses. Beis HaKnesses is only for davening, davening only. Whereas the Beis HaMedrash the halachas are a lot looser. All the above mentioned are permissible. And you're allowed to daven in the Beis HaMedrash, even though it's made for learning. And it seems to be very difficult to understand, because we know the Talmud Torah connected Kilam, right? The learning Torah is supposed to be the most valuable. The most valuable tool that we have. And here we see that a place that is designated for davening, that even Torah learning is not permissible there. And the way to explain this is only that although Torah is tremendous and the dveikus, the connection that one can have to Hashem through Torah is unparalleled, nevertheless, learning Torah does not guarantee that you're going to connect to Hashem. Neither does doing chesed or any other mitzvah. There is, by definition, there could be ulterior motives in anything that we do. One can learn Torah just to acquire wisdom. When one is davening, there is no other explanation or definition for davening than talking to Hashem. That is what davening is. One is talking to Hashem. So davening has this unique quality that by definition it means that we are connecting to Hashem, where no other mitzvah has that quality. So the pasuk tells us that davening is the first quality that sets us apart from the nations of the world. We have a God. Who is a nation that is so special that has a God close to them that answers them whenever they call out to them. Whenever they call out to him. Now it happens to be that the human race in general is defined by prayer. We know that there are four levels in creation. There's daimim, there's still objects. There's tzemeach, sprouting, things that sprout. Chai, living creatures, and medaber. And then there's the human being, which is, the human being is called medaber. Why is a human being called medaber? Because we can speak. Well, don't the chayas also speak? What about, didn't Shlema HaMelech know sichas chayas vayfis? Shlema HaMelech knew how to understand the speech of animals and birds. So they speak too. We just don't understand them. So why are we called medaber? And why are they not called medaber? And just by the fact that we can't understand them doesn't mean that they're not medaber. We don't understand Chinese people either. And they're still called medaber. And perhaps the reason why they're called medaber is because the main quality of a medaber is that they daven, that they pray. Chayas and oifis don't daven. They might talk to each other. That's not medaber. That's not talking. The quality of medaber is brought about by someone who can daven, by someone who can talk to the Rabbeinu Shalom. That's a medaber. The nations of the world, human beings, are called medaber. The nations of the world can daven too. It says, ki besi bes tefila, yikorei lechol olamim. Right? All the nations can pray. Right? So the human race is called a medaber. It's just that we are unique because Hashem answers us whenever we call out to Him. The Gemara in Bava Kamma, the Gemara lists in the first mission of Bava Kamma, the Mishnah lists a mazik, one of the four categories of damage is called mave. And the Gemara tries to figure out what in the world is mave. And the Gemara wants to say that mave is Adam. Mave is a human being that damages. Why, says the Gemara, why is a human being called a mave? Says the Gemara, because mave comes from the word boya, which means to daven. A human being is a davener. That's what a human being is. That's what defines a human being. We're a medaber. We're more medaber than any other creature because we can talk to Hashem. The Ramah in Yoredeya, Simon Pei Aleph, Siv Zayin. Says that a baby, a Jewish baby, is allowed to nurse from a non-Jewish woman. Nochris ki Yisraelis. That's what the words of the Ramah. A non-Jewess has the same din as a Jewish woman, that they can nurse a Jewish baby. Says the Ramah, but it's not a good idea. Don't do it. And the Ramah goes on to say that the milk of a non-Jewish woman can clog the heart spiritually of a Jewish baby. Where's the Ramah getting this from? From the Gemara in Sota Daf Yud Beis Amud Beis, where the Gemara, which is brought in Rashi in Parsha Shmois, Rashi says that it says over there in the pasuk that Moshe Rabbeinu, that Yocheved, I'm sorry, that Bas Paroi, that Basia, when she took Moshe out of the Nile River, that she had Miriam go fetch Yocheved, so that she can so that she'll nurse Moshe Rabbeinu. Says Rashi there from the Gemara that she tried first having Moshe nurse from the Egyptian women, and he refused. Says the Gemara, why? Because Osid Ledavre Mashchina, because Moshe Rabbeinu was going to eventually speak with the Shechina, so it was inappropriate that someone who was going to speak with the Shechina should nurse from a non-Jewish mother. So the Ramah derives from here that it's not a good idea to have one's child nursed from a non-Jewish mother. So Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky asks, the Gemara explicitly says that the only reason why Moshe Rabbeinu should not nurse from a non-Jewish mother is because he's going to speak with the Shechina. That doesn't apply to all of us. So Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky says that here's a lesson in chinuch, that every mother needs to treat her child as if this child is going to be the next Moshe Rabbeinu. But I don't think we need to come on to that. It's a beautiful vort. But every Jewish child is aser ledavar mashchina. Every Jewish child who is going to daven is going to speak with the Shechina. There's no difference between Moshe Rabbeinu and any one of us. We all speak with the Shechina. I was talking today to a good friend of mine, and I asked him permission if I could repeat the story, as long as it remains nameless. So I was being machazik him. He's going through very difficult times. He lost the last couple of months. He lost his job. His house was foreclosed on. An investment property that he had was foreclosed on. It was taken away. He was going through terrible times. So I talked to him and trying to give him some chizik. And he tells me, I want to tell you something I haven't told anybody yet. So he said that he has a friend, Avremel. Very close friend of his. And before Rosh Hashanah, he was talking to Avremel. And Avremel says to him, Avremel told him that he was going through very, very difficult times. Avremel was a well-to-do fellow. And he told my friend that he's going through very, very difficult times. And my friend is telling me that his heart went out to him. And all he spent, this was the conversation he had with Avremel right before Rosh Hashanah. He said he spent Rosh Hashanah and Aseres Meitshuva davening for Avremel. That Avremel should have, that things should go better for him. His heart bled for him. So he said, Yom Kippur v'Ani'ila. He said, I shouted out, Ribbono shel Olam, I ask you that any shefa that was supposed to come to me, any flow that was supposed to come to me, give it to Avram. Masa Shaya, he said, since Yom Kippur, things started going downhill for him. As I explained before, everything went downhill for him. Avremel, things started going terrific for Avremel. The Rebbeinu Shel Olam was listening. We got to just watch what we ask for. The Zohar HaKadosh says, Shas Tzloisa Shas Krova. Time of davening is a time of war, time of battle. And the Zohar HaKadosh says that it is our battle with Amalek when we daven. What does this mean? And the Sforim HaKadoshim explain that when a person davens, a person is supposed to connect the four letters of Hashem's name. The Zohar HaKadosh says, Yud Shar Yeh B'Moyach, that every person has a Yud in their brain. Hey Shar Yeh B'Lev, a person has a Hey in their heart. Vav is in a person's voice. And Hey is in a person's speech. We won't go into now why it is specifically these letters are in these different places. But that's what the Zohar HaKadosh says. So when a person thinks about what they're saying, and they arouse their heart, so that their heart shouldn't be involved in their davening, their voice comes out and is articulated by their speech, there's a combination of Yud Kei Vav Kei. The pasuk says, "Ki yod al kes ka." By the Mochemes Amalek, it says there's a hand. Amalek's hand covers the yud ke. That's what Amalek tries to do. Amalek tries to remove our thoughts and our heart from our voice and our speech, so that when we're davening, all there is voice and speech. There's no, the head and heart are elsewhere. That's why Chazal say, "Ein Hashem Shalem." Hashem's name is not whole. Ad sheyemacha shmei shel Amalek, until Amalek's memory is eradicated. That indicates that as long as we allow our Amalek to overcome us and to remove our mind and our heart from our davening, we are not combining Hashem's name. So, the first step to try to be victorious in this battle is to know what we're saying. That's the only way we can actually have our mind participate in our davening. Chazal say in Masechtas Brachos on the pasuk Krum Zulus Levnei Adam. Chazal say Elu Devarim Ha'imdim Berumei Shel Olam Ubnei Adam Mezalzlim Bohem. These are words that stand in the height of the world, and people degrade them. And Rashi says that this is a reference to tefillah. Chazal are referring to tefillah, that tefillah is something that stands in the height of the world, and people do not respect davening. So the Satmar Rav in the Sefer Divrei Yoel asks, number one, how does Rashi know that we're talking about tefillah? Chazal don't say we're talking about tefillah. And secondly, why do people degrade tefillah? Why don't we appreciate tefillah? And Satmar Rav says, brings another Gemara. The Gemara says that from the day the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, Ninalu Sharei Tefillah. The gates of tefillah have been locked. And the Gemara goes on to say, Aval Pishen in Alu Sharei Tefillah, Sharei Demois Lein in Alu. Even though the gates of prayer have been locked, the gates of tears have not been locked. So the Satmarav asks, well, if this is the case, why, what's the point in our davening? If the gates of tefillah are locked, what's the point? And you can't say that we're supposed to cry every time we daven. You can't tell somebody to cry. You either cry or you don't. So what is the chiyuv of davening? Why is there an obligation to daven? It's not going anywhere. So the Satmarav says a beautiful word. He says that anybody that davens, their tefillas ascend heavenward until they reach the gates of heaven. Until they reach the Shari Shemayim, the gates of heaven are locked. Since the Churban Beis HaMikdash, Shari Tefillin in Alam, the gates of heaven are locked. Until, says the Samarov, somebody davens with tears. When someone davens with tears, those tears, Shari Demois, line in Alam, the gates of tears have not been locked. So the tears unlock the gates. Once the gates unlock, all the tefillas go up. So, all Klal Yisrael, all tefillahs ascend and wait at the gates of heaven until someone with tears comes along, open the gates, and then everything goes in. So that's why we need to daven, because eventually our tefillahs get in. So he says that's what Chazal are saying. Elu devarim ha'im demiruma shalom. These are things that are standing in the height of the world. What does that mean, they're standing in the height of the world? He says they're standing and waiting at the Shari Shemayim. But B'nai Adam is Aslan, people degrade tefillah, people don't appreciate tefillah because they think that their tefillahs are not going anywhere. But I'd like to suggest an understanding in Shari Demois Leinin Alo. When we say that the gates of tears have not been locked, in order for tefillah to be proper tefillah, we need to, first of all, have our mind participate in the davening. We can't just be talking words and not understanding what we're saying. So our mind needs to be present. Our thoughts need to be present. When someone davens properly with their thoughts, understanding what they're saying, that davening will have an effect. Will have an effect on the person. The person will become a better person after they daven. When somebody davens just says the words and not understanding what they're saying, the davening does nothing for them. But when somebody understands what they're saying, the davening penetrates the heart. The person becomes a better person. And as a result, our day is a better day. We do things better. We do things right. So our davening affects our actions throughout the entire day. So if we would want to bring out what is a proper davening. A proper davening is a davening that is done with mind, speech, and that it affects a person's actions. The word dema, which we usually interpret as tears, is an acronym. The dalet is dibur, the mem is machshava, and the ayin is asiya, speech, thought, and action. When our davening encompasses our thought, speech, and action, that is the type of tefillah that opens the gates. Shari demois, the gates that are approached with dema, with dalet mem ayin, with dibra machshava and asiya, that type of tefillah, for those types of tefillahs, the gates open. It's shari tefillah, it's the gates where it's only words without that don't affect, that where our minds don't participate and our actions are not affected, those are the types of gates that are closed. Another reason why people do not appreciate davening, b'nei odem mezalzel b'hem, is because we don't believe that we're speaking to Hashem. We don't believe that our tefillahs can actually have an effect, that our tefillahs can actually accomplish anything. There's a word that I've said numerous times, that Yaakov Avinu, when he left Be'er Sheva to go to Haran, Chazal tell us that he passed by the Makom HaMikdash. He passed by Har HaMoria and went all the way to Haran. When he got to Haran, he said, is it possible that I passed by the place where my forefathers prayed and I didn't stop to pray there? So he decided to go back. And as we know, when he got there, he had this dream with the ladder standing on the ground, reaching the heavens. And Yaakov Avinu wakes up and he says, "Ochen yesh Hashem b'mokem hazeh, behold, Hashem is in this place, v'anoichi lo yadati, and I didn't know." What do you mean you didn't know? You came back all the way from Haran because you knew this was mokem shispalu avoisai. So how can Yaakov possibly say, "V'anoichi lo yadati," that he didn't know that this was a place of Asheras Hashchina? So I suggested that Yaakov Avinu, on his way to Haran, when he passed by Har Moriah, he definitely thought about stopping. But then he said to himself, what am I going to contribute here? My father, Yitzchak, on this spot, stretched out his neck to be slaughtered for Hashem's sake. My grandfather, Avram, was willing to slaughter his Ben Yochid, his beloved son, Yitzchak. This is a place of tremendous Mesiras Nefesh. So what am I going to do? I'm going to come in here and I'm going to say a Kapitel Tehillim. What is that going to be worth? And then he decided, once he reached Haran, that wasn't the appropriate approach. He should have at least respected the place where his forefathers died. He went back. And Hashem showed him that all, you might think that you're a Sula Mutzavarta, you might think that you're a lowly, earthly creature that doesn't make a difference when you daven. You should know, Reisha Magi HaShemayimah, you should know that whenever you say anything, it reaches the heavens. And Yaakov woke up, he said, Ochen Yesh Hashem v'makom hazeh, behold, I knew Hashem was in this place. But v'anoichi, but that I can make a difference? That lo yadati, that I didn't know. Each and the Rabbanu Shlomo, there's a pasuk in the Torah, and we believe that every pasuk in the Torah is true. It says in the Torah, the pasuk that I began the shir with, "Mi goy godol ashaloya lekim kroyve meidav kashem alekenu b'chol karenu elav." Hashem is close to us whenever we call out to Him. He's listening, and we're talking to Him. And our davening needs to appear as if we believe that. But we're mezalzel, because it's so hard to fathom that the Melech Malach HaMelech HaKadosh Baruch Hu would listen to such a lowly creature. But that's the way it is. Hashem loves us. And He wants to listen to us. There's a famous vort that the Hashem cursed the Nachash right after the chet of the Eitz Hadas, that afar toicha kol yemei chayecha, you should eat dust of the earth for the rest of your life. So the Mefarshim ask, well, that's not a klal, that's a bracha. The snake always has food. Every other creature in the world has to struggle to make a parnasa. And the answer is that the greatest klal is that Hashem tells a creature, here, take it. I don't want to hear from you ever again. That's the klala that the Nachash got. We are fortunate that we need to come on to the Rabbi Nishlana for everything that we need. And he wants that Rabbi Nishlana yearns for that connection. So he makes us daven. There are times, Chazal tell us, there are times that we're lacking our necessities, because Hashem wants a connection to us. And He knows that if we're lacking our basic necessities, or something that we want, we will call out to him. There's a Chazal tell us, "Loi ki Avram shekarei har, v'loi ki Yitzchak shekarei sada, ela ki Yaakov shekarei bayis." There's a machlokes between Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. What the Har Hamaria should be called? Avram, say Chazal, called it Har, Har Hashem Yera. He called it a mountain. Yitzchak called it a sada. Vayetze Yitzchak lasuach basada. He called it a field. Yaakov Karei Bayis. Yaakov called it a house. Ein Zeki and Beis Elokim. And the Gemara makes an emphasis on telling us Avram is wrong. Like Avram Shekarei Har. But like Yitzchak Shekarei Sada, Yitzchak is wrong too. Elokim Yaakov, Yaakov is right. Yaakov called it a Bayis. What do these three names represent? And it's what is it teaching us? We also find that Avram calls tefillah amida. He calls it standing. Elamakim asher amad sham ein amida ela tefillah. Yitzchak calls tefillah sicha. Sicha is conversing. Vayetzi Yitzchak lasuach basada. Yaakov calls it pegia. Vayivgab amakim. Pegia means encountering. Once again, what are these threes? Why are each one of the others calling tefillah something else? Perhaps Avraham Avinu held that if somebody is going to talk to the Melech Malchei Melachim, if somebody is going to talk to the King of all Kings, there needs to be some preparation, some separation from this lowly world. Someone needs to elevate themselves before they speak to the Melech Malchei Melachim. So he called the Makam HaMikdash, he called the place of Avodah, the place of Tefillah, he called that a har, an elevated place. That is the place for Tefillah. A person needs to elevate themselves before they begin davening. And he called it Amida, standing as one would stand in awe in front of the Melech Malchei Melachim. Yitzchak held no. That is not required of a person davening. All that's required of a person davening is to treat davening at least as one would do if one would be conversing a serious matter with a confidant. One would try to distance themselves from any distraction. One would distance themselves from the city. They would go out to the field. That is what is required of somebody davening, to distance oneself from any type of distraction, so that one can focus on what they're talking about. So Yitzchak called it a field, distant from any type of distraction, and he called it sicha, conversing, as if one is conversing with someone, with their confidant, serious matters. Yaakov said, "No, you both got it wrong. We're not talking about standing in front of the Melech Malchei Melachim. We're not talking about conversing with a confidant. We're talking about a child encountering their father in their house. It's a bias. It's a home. This is a child encountering a father. There's no, one doesn't need to elevate themselves in order to daven. One doesn't need to distance themselves in order to daven. And Chazal say, Loik Avram Shekarei Har, Avram is wrong. Loik Yitzchak Shekarei Sada, Loik Yaakov Shekarei Bayis. A Yid has the right, any time of the day, no matter where they are, to say, Tata, I need help. My father, I'm in an Nesoyin. I can't handle this on my own. Help me. I have a a business deal that I need your help for. You don't have to put on your gartel and you know what a gartel is? No. And you don't need to go to the mikveh, put on a gartel in order to daven. A child can speak to their father whenever they need to. Now, there's no question that Yaakov agrees that if somebody can daven on a level of Avraham Avinu, that's tremendous. And the davening will accomplish much more. And if one can daven on Yitzchak's level, that would be great. But it's not limited to that. A child has the right to call out to their father upon encounter. Tata, I need this. Now, it's very possible that the main reason why that we are mezalzel in tefillah, the reason why we do not appreciate davening, is because we feel that we're not answered. We've been we daven for so many things, and we don't see any salvation. Now, first of all, we need to know that the Ribbono Shel Olam knows what is best for us, more than we know what's best for us. And whenever we daven for something, gashmi, anything materialistic, anything physical, the way we should daven for it is, the Ribbono Shel Olam, if you know that this is best for me, then please help me. Very possible the reason why the person doesn't have it is because Hashem wants to hear from him. So, you're hearing from me. And if this is best for me, then please give it to me. That's why a person should never say, Hashem, I need this, please give it to me. You never know if what you're asking for is good for you. Not so with Ruchnius. Ruchnius is a person should always ask for. There's a word from the Chiddush Arim, which is the typical Masnagid might say that it's apikorsis. But the Chiddush Arim says that Chazal tell us that Hakol bidei shemayim chutz miyirat shemayim. Everything is in the hands of heaven besides the fear of heaven. And the understanding of this is that the fear of heaven is something you got to work on. Everything else comes from heaven. Chiddush Arim says no. Hakol bidei shemayim means everything is in the hands of heaven. Meaning, when you ask for something, it's in heaven's hands whether to give it to you or not. Besides Yirat Shemayim, if a person asks for Yirat Shemayim, Hashem must give it. No questions there.
My question, yeah. I just want to tell you that it's not such a Hasidish word, it's also the Bona Kohen.
Really? Shem Baruch Hashem. Okay. All right. Baruch Hashem.
You had a little bit of Hasidish.
Yeah. The Baal Tanya calls the Vilna Gaon HaGaon HaChazid. Yeah, so Yirat Shemayim, Ruchnis, we could always ask for. But going back to the reason why we might not appreciate davening is because we don't see our tefillahs being answered. So once again, first reason why it might not be answered is because it might not be good for us. Second reason why our tefillahs might not be answered is because we have to realize is that Hashem gives our tefillahs the same importance that we give it. So if we are serious about our davening and we make the effort to understand what we're saying, and we invest time and effort to make our davening the davening it should be, Hashem sees that davening is something serious to us, Hashem takes it serious too. But if we don't take our davening serious, then the way the Ribbono Shel Olam works, midah keneged midah, measure for measure, you don't think it's something serious, I'm not going to take it seriously either. In addition, in order for a person's tefillahs to be heard, one's mouth needs to be a holy place. If one uses their mouth for vulgar language, for sheker, for falsehood, for lashon hara, for achilus, their mouth becomes a makim tome. Tefillahs coming out of such a mouth cannot be accepted. We just had in Parashat Tetzava, where the pasuk talks about the me'il. The pasuk says, "Safa yeh lefiv saviv." And the Sfarim HaKadoshim say that "Safa yeh lefiv saviv" means that the lips need to surround the mouth. The reason why Hashem gave us lips is to close them when the mouth should not be used. And the pasuk concludes, "V'nishma koylei b'vayah l'kodesh." Somebody who uses their lips properly to shut their mouth when they're not supposed to be talking, then that person's voice will be heard when they come to the kodesh. When it comes to davening, such a person's tefillahs will be heard. Otherwise, if the mouth is not a makom kodesh, it is definitely a impediment for the person's davening to be accepted. So I believe that coming to a shir where we will be focusing on the definition of davening to understand what we're saying is a first step to showing the Rabbeinu Shleilam that we are taking our davening seriously, so that our tefillahs shall be heard. V'nishma koylei v'voya l'kodesh, and our voice will be heard when we come to the kodesh. So the Eibshter help from that our tefillahs shall be accepted, and we should be zeicha to have mikol tuv banachaya u'zayner revicha and agula shleima b'mehirah b'yameinu amen. So next week we'll start with the moed ani lefanecha. Yitz Hashem.
I think we're trying a question. Correlation of that.